Welcome everyone. We're about to begin Ves Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 616. In the Sefer Reyim Ahuvim of Rav Shlomo Aviner, which he said we're going to alternate, talking a lot about the concepts of the misconceptions of some negative terms pertaining to women, pertaining to men, that needs to be stood in the right way. So the idea being, as an example, another issue that people have issues with, Ish Mekadesh Es Ha'Isha. Why does a man, he creates the Kedushin when he is Mekadesh the woman, and it's not the other way around? And that's not equal. It seems like the man is, again, the active role, and the woman is the passive, which people view as negative. But as we mentioned in the last shiur that we brought up from this Sefer, on the Shasani Kirt Sinai that we discussed, that is a higher level bracha in many ways than the Shloyasani Isha that men make, because she's already more B'sholim Be'etzem, and we brought Rayas from the Maral and other places that is so, and the man needs more Shleimus, so he needs those mitzvahs to fulfill himself, why the woman does not need it. The similar idea, this is not brought down right here, but saw it in many Svarim as well, is the idea of bris milah, right? Physically, and then anatomically and physically, the man, b'yom hashmini, has a kedusha of the bris milah, which is a tremendous mitzvah, a tremendous bracha that a man has, and the woman does not have it. But the lashon of the chazal is isha kamanda mehili damya. She is already circumcised, quote, so to speak. In other words, she has her shleimus without it. By the man, there's an impurity, there's an arla, there's an external husk that has to be removed. By the woman, it's already naturally removed. It's already pure. It's already there. So it's not that she is lacking the kedusha of a bris milah, but rather she is already, quote-unquote, circumcised spiritually, so therefore there's no need for the physical manifestation of it, because she is pure on that whole higher level that way. And, you know, when the bracha Birchas Hamazon says Val Brischa Shechasamta Bersareinu, that the woman also says, there's many reasons behind it that she mentions that on the bris that is sealed in our flesh. And the question is, by her, there's no, it doesn't apply. So how could she say these words? So some want to say because she's connected to her soul, even if she's single right now, but she's connected to her potential husband as one soul. So together, it's included in, by her, by him. But the idea being is that she's more shalom. The same thing over here. This passive aspects that we call passive over here by the Kedushin is because she has more shleimus in and of itself. Therefore, her role is the Kabbalah, is to be makabal that Kedushin. So that passive role is because she's beyond it. She's on that higher level. While the man always has to act in order to have his shleimus. It has to be that nice thing in order to create that shleimus that he needs to create. So that's an extremely important yesod as well. And then he goes into the tafkid of a woman, and specifically, she's the akaris habayis. She's the mainstay of the household. She's the ikar habayis. A husband could be called a chashav habayis. He's important, he's prominent. But by isha, it's called akaris, ikar. She is the source. She is the ikar. So what does that mean that she's the ikar of the bayis? Number one, what is a home? A home on a basic level insulates a person from the cold, from the heat, from the rain, from the snow. So that idea of a woman being the staple of a home that actually protects the home and the husband and the children from that outside external forces of the external negative aspects of rain and snow and heat and cold. Another idea of a house is the emotional aspect of the house, the warmth, the family, the loved ones, the insulation and the comfort and the acceptance that's within a home. And again, the woman plays a role, the main role of the model of conveying that bracha of that home for all of the husband and the children to see and feel. And of course, there is that cultural aspects of the home, the family structure within it, the life situations, the growth, and so on and so forth. All of these things, the woman plays a pure, clear role pertaining to that. She has, of course, certain powers that are beyond the man, the Bina Yisera aspects. There's an aspect of Das, the word Das, that by there, the man is more superior in that faculty. But in Bina, deep understanding, intuition, the woman has that stronger faculty. So again, like we mentioned in the last year that we discussed this, people look at it like a negative way, but it's really two sides of the same coin. The fact that the man has a certain superior cognitive function of the Das beyond the woman isn't in and of itself why the woman has that Bina Yisera, that extra intuition and deep, deep understanding of beyond what a man has, because each one has their own roles. The idea being, which is very important with the gender difference nonsense that we have our days, that it is true, by the way, a man is always a man, a woman is always a woman, and Beteva, there's a deep-seated idea. It is true that there are hiskalos that we have to have. So, for example, it is important for a woman to have developed some of the masculine qualities taken from her husbands or husbands from brothers and so on and so forth, and to channel it and use it the right way. And therefore, you have some women that are more like sort of feminine type, and then there's some women that are more masculine type in the sense of stereotypically not the norm, which is like more assertive and more less emotional to a certain degree, more conceptual, the ones who write books and who, you know, whatever it is that seemingly a male type of characteristic. They're still women inherently. They still have that softness within them and the purpose of family and motherhood, but there's some extra degree of also the masculine aspects of it. There's nothing wrong with that. And the same thing applies to women, to men. You have men that are very masculine oriented, tough as nails and non-emotional and no nonsense. Then you have that male that has the feminine qualities within them, a softer type of mode. So that's fine. That's perfectly, perfectly fine. But the idea being is with your nature that you use the right way, you cannot negate what the tafkid of each one is in the most strong way. So a woman, no matter how she has those other quote-unquote masculine characteristics, but it really needs, and a lot of them are prone to have other types of talents and habits. They cannot just be fully satisfied with 24/7 full motherhood at the exclusion of anything else. But the bottom line is, deep within them, and the Chazal say this as a metzias, their inherent basic personality, their feminine aspects of it, of the way Hashem explained it, is for caring for children and family. So it's very, very important to know that. You know, when we talk personality types, we talked about this a lot, that some personality types are more masculine oriented, some are more feminine oriented, but it doesn't make a difference. So you have a little bit more or less of that within each one's personality, but the ultimate etzem tafkid of a woman and a man remains intact the way it's supposed to be. So the idea of a woman being the main focus in her home, with her children, with her family, does not negate the fact that when she has that need to be mashpia to others and to express her outlets in a healthy way, in music, in writing, in talents. You do that. You see this in Chazal as well. You see Dvaira was a Shefetes. Esther Malka was Mashpia. Sarah, right? She said to remove Hagar and Yishmael from the household, and Aram didn't like it, and Hashem said, Kol ha-shatayma ilecha Sarah shma b'kayla. Rivka, she did it with Arama, but she had the Ruach HaKadosh and knew the truth about Esav, that Yaakov should be Mekabel the Brachas, not Esav, as opposed to Yitzchak's initial wishes. Later, he was maskim to it. Leah also wanted to connect as a wife of Yaakov. So you see this idea, though, that they take a primary role in many places, even in public realms. An Isha could really be a tremendous public influence. But nevertheless, with everything being said here, it does not take away the unique individualistic aspects that every single woman has, even if they are, and you have, you know, with Chabad and others, in the care of that, women are very out there that way. But even when they are out there that way, if you listen carefully to those that are very, very special and do it the right way, they emphasize as they are out there and as they are teaching and educating and informing and spreading out the word, and they're well known and they're famous even. But they always, always emphasize that inner dimensions of family, the tznius, the kol kvayda bas melech panima, and they practice this. They practice this. And this is something to always remember, that the tafket of the woman is the binyan of the bayis and the family structure. Even when they have to go out to work, they do it with a tznius, they do it in the right way. So the idea is that a woman, sometimes they need to do it, sometimes out of necessity, but sometimes also out of their inner drive, whether it's working or channeling their talents into work or work into talents, and they teach and they educate or they do other things, they do it modestly even when publicly. That is the real key, and that is the idea. It's fascinating. There's a Tshuvas Radvaz, Chelek Gimel, Siman Tuf Pei Aleph. This is he lived in Tzfas over 400 years ago, and there was a factory of women that they were like embroidery, that they worked in this Arab type of place together with men. So there was no Isser Yichud there because it was a public place. But nevertheless, there was pritzis aspects there that were problematic. And how could you fix this? And the Radvaz said, and I guess you needed influence from the non-Jewish employers to agree to this, and they did. But they agreed, don't sit at the same table. As they are weaving, the men should do it separately on their table, and the women separately. And I guess maybe it doesn't say it in the tshuva, that maybe they convince their employers that the productivity will be better if the men and women are not on the same tables, and that they should be over 40, whatever his things over there. But the idea being that you see from here that there was that balance. They knew that women sometimes needed to go to work, needed to be out there at times, and nevertheless did it in a derech of tznius, and did it in the right way, in a healthy way. So this emphasizes the point we made when we were talking about Rabbi Aviner's shiurim of his Sefer Rei Mahuvim. It's not just going to talk about this topic. We're going to see later it's going to go into a lot of beautiful topics in marriage over here as well, together with Rabbi Morgenstern Sefer and other things we may bring up. But this is a very, very important thing. The respect and the derech eretz and the kavod that men have to have for women, and women have to have for men, and not make fun and not degrade, and to recognize the differences and value it, especially husband and wife differences with each other, siblings, brothers and sisters, and the way the parents inculcates that into their children of different genders. The respect that needs to always be there is extremely paramount, both to Shalom Bayis and to family relationships. Bracha v'atzlacha.